Good morning. If you'd like to come and settle down. There will be plenty of time for conversations afterwards.
That means sit down, Peter.
The voice from nowhere. So sit down, Peter. Right. Welcome to our service this morning. You will notice I'm drinking from this. This is lemon and honey. It's keeping my throat going. So forgive me if I'm not around for socialising quite as much as usual after the service. I've got a bit of a cold. I don't want to give it to anyone. So I have done my COVID tests. It's all fine. I left the kids at home. And so after the service, I'll be in my office if anyone particularly wants to talk to me, which you're welcome to come and do. But I'm not going to hang around with everyone and spread my germs everywhere. So, notices for today. Has anyone, before, I've got a whole list of things to tell you, but has anyone else got anything that they want to share with us this morning?
Yes, I'm very grateful that Margaret and her husband brought me here today.
Oh, that's lovely. It's lovely to have you back, Maureen. So tonight we have a discussion group on Zoom for anyone who wants to attend. That's at 7:30. I would be interested to know, I'm going to put you all on the spot here, because obviously I made the silly mistake of saying I was going to do a prayer meeting on the first Sunday in the month and a discussion group on the third Sunday in the month. And that's actually not very convenient for anyone. So, can I ask for a show of hands if you would want to come to either of those if they were on a different day? Okay, so I know who I've got to speak to sort out a day with, that's all. Right. It is going ahead tonight just because I've put it in the newsletter and it's all organised. So me and Rini are leading a discussion on whether our dandelion's weeds is our discussion for tonight. We'll see how it goes. Right. Second notice. This week is the Eastern Baptist Association Week of Prayer. They're doing Zoom meetings every day and they've got different people speaking at different times. If you want any information on that, there's some sheets printed off at the back of the church if you want to take part in any of that. And finally, I've been contacted by a care home in Leyndon asking if we could do some work with them, visiting, taking services, communion, that kind of thing. If anyone's interested in getting involved in that, can you let me know after the service? Because I'm having a meeting with them in a couple of weeks' time to see what we can do and what we can sort out. So that's my notices. I would like just to take a moment to take prayer requests for later on, because it gets a bit muddled if you start throwing them in the middle. So we'll come to all that later on, but I just thought I'd get my list ready so that we can, when we come to it, we can just go straight ahead. But I hope you're enjoying being back. It's nice to be here. It's nice to be down here. It's great to be together to worship God and to hear his word. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for giving us this place to come to worship. Thank you for giving us these people to come to worship with. Thank you that in these times you meet with us in a special way, especially in the communion time we'll have later. Lord, would you bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing a couple of songs. We'll begin with, "As we are gathered, Jesus is here. And come, now is the time to worship." continue today on our journey through life. We've been born, grown, learnt, been baptised. Now we come to another milestone as Christians, and that's church membership. So children, if you want a task today, it's a drawing task. There's some paper and pens on the table, and I want you to draw a picture of what it means to be a member of something. Now, you don't have to if you're happy doing whatever else it is that you want to be doing, but that's your task if you want it. Your mission if you choose to accept it. I must point out that I said these were milestones, but they're not necessarily in order. So some people don't come to baptism and church membership until later in life, and that's fine. Some ask for church membership before baptism, and in many churches, including this one, that's okay. Although I'll come later to why we prefer it the other way around. But I also want to point out that there's a distinction between the universal church, which consists of all Christians of all times and all places everywhere, and the local church, which is in our case, Laindon Baptist Church. And they overlap, obviously. But it is possible to be a Christian without being a member of Laindon Baptist Church. There are Christians out there. And it's also possible to come to Laindon Baptist Church without being a Christian, to come and enjoy the services without allowing Jesus to be Lord of your life. But to be a church member, we need to believe you're a Christian, and there's a reason for that. It's not because we're trying to exclude people. We don't demand a certain level of knowledge or ask that you sign up to a specific set of beliefs. And if you don't, you're out. We ask that you're submitting yourself to Jesus. And one sign of that is baptism, as we heard last week. And as I said earlier, we'd like people to have been baptized. For some people, that doesn't work. For example, if they've been baptized as infants and truly believe that they shouldn't be baptized again. And there's a conversation that can be had about that. But the church would want to know that the person coming to membership has a living relationship with Jesus and submits to his teaching, tries to live in the way he wants them to. And part of the reason for that is because in a Baptist church, it's the members of the church who make the decisions. Except that it isn't. The members of the church meet together to discern, to try to understand what God wants them to do. And if someone isn't submitting to Jesus, they can lead the church instead to do what they want to do. So if you get a few non-Christians making decisions for the church, suddenly the church isn't going in God's direction anymore. But before we go too much further into me on my soapbox, let's ground ourselves again in Scripture. Scripture has no sense of Christians who are not part of a local church. When it speaks about the church, it talks about Christians who are joining together in worship and obedience. And Mum's going to come and read that to us this morning. It's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27.
Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Just pray that God would bless his word to us and speak to us through it. Lord, open our hearts to hear and to know your will. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing again. For I'm building a people of power and bind us together. You can stand or you can stay seated. Reading well, don't we? We know that song well, but we know the reading that we just read. I'm sure we've heard it many times, but there are 3 points I want to make. Firstly, we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Paul's challenging his readers, and it should challenge us. He speaks about people who are different, who have been joined together. And that's a really important thing about church. In this place, people who are different, people who would never get together in normal life, who might even go out of their way to avoid each other, are joined together. Let me ask you something, and please don't shout out any names. Are there people in this church you'd rather not have to associate with? I don't expect an answer. Are there people you would never be friends with outside the church? Are there people you have nothing in common with? It might surprise you to hear me say, I hope so. Part of becoming a church member is making a decision, a commitment, that you'll be part of the body of Christ in this place, caring for the rest of the body, whether you like it or not. And that's a witness to the world. In a world where division and hatred are seen around us, for an older person to say of a younger person, he's my brother. For a poor person to say of a rich person, she's my sister. For a strict person to say of a liberal person, they're my friend. What a picture of God's kingdom. Isaiah spoke of a time when the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and I wonder if this is what he had in mind. The church provides a picture, a possibility of a world where differences don't divide us, where enemies are loved and true equality is found. But for some people, that's difficult to understand, so Paul breaks it down. And like Jesus, he starts with the person in what's traditionally a lower position, the slave, the Gentile, the person with nothing to offer. But he asks that they take responsibility for their own decisions and their own attitudes. This isn't about other people putting them down, it's them putting themselves down and refusing to take up their God-given roles. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. The inferiority complex. I can't be a church member because I'm not like so-and-so. I'm not good enough, clever enough. I have no place because I can't stand up and speak. I haven't got time to help in Girls Brigade or the technical knowledge to work the computer. There's no place for me here. I don't belong because I have nothing to offer. Paul says, never mind what other people are doing. It's not about what you can offer. You're still part of the body. And he says, we need you. We need you to join us in worship. We need you to pray. We need you to join with us in discerning Jesus' will for the church. You bring something unique, something special, something that no one else brings, even if you don't think it's important. And I know that's true because God's brought you here. God's given you as a gift to the church. All he asks is that you take your place in it. If everyone's speaking, who's listening? If everyone's making tea and coffee, who's drinking it? If everyone's outgoing and enthusiastic in welcome, who's allowing people space to be themselves? If everyone's happy, who's caring for the one who comes in grieving? Being different, having nothing to offer, isn't a reason to write yourself off and not take up your part of the body. But there are other people. Those with the power, those superior, those who know it all and can do it all. And Paul says, don't think too much of yourself. Don't think you can do it all. Don't think that the stuff you do is more important than the stuff other people do. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I can take a service. But just because I'm the one up here doesn't mean I don't need others. I've been so blessed to have people behind me. People who will step in when I can't manage. People who look after the music and the computer. People who pray. People who come. What would I be standing up here preaching without all of you listening? What would Mike be playing with no one singing? One of the most disheartening things I've found in ministry is when you try to do something and nobody comes to it. Nobody takes part. I know people, they're not church members, who won't do anything unless they can be in charge of it. That's not God's way. We need each other. And the one who has least to offer is the one who gets the special treatment. That's what God says. Care for the weak, the vulnerable, the poor. Give to those who can't repay you. So when as a church we provide for those who have nothing to contribute, we're acting as Jesus did. When we listen to those who are unheard, we're acting as Jesus did. When we say that every person is a valued part of the body, that's church. Let me be frank with you. There are a number of categories of people in this church, and I expect most churches, and some that overlap between them. There are some people who are just beginning their spiritual journey and are not yet in a place of being baptized or joining the membership. And that's okay. We're all on a journey. And we rejoice that people are on it at all. We rejoice that people come in that situation. There are some people who for many years have been Christians and have been happy to come to services without the commitment of being church members. Happy to be involved, to do things for the church, but without really fully giving themselves to the body. And without really fully receiving our commitment to them either. And to them, I would say, please consider taking that step to membership. There are some who are church members, but for whatever reason, don't take part in church life. As parts of the body, their paralysis affects other parts. Now, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty if they can't do much through ill health or other circumstances. If that's the case, the rest of the body is here to support you, and it's not that we can't cope without you. What I'm talking about is an attitude that it doesn't matter. The foot says, I'm not a hand, it's only hands they need. No one will notice if I'm not there. The fact is, we do notice. We notice because you're valued. Because without your contribution, there's something missing. If you can't join in something, don't. But do realise that your absence actually does mean something to the rest of the body. And there are some people who are all in, fully committed to the body of Christ, working hard, burning themselves out in some cases, keeping the body alive. Mike Kay will tell you that when he waited for his knee replacement, his other leg took the strain. And that causes trouble in itself. The answer to a body that isn't functioning as it should isn't for some parts to take on more and more. It's for all the parts to do what they can. But to those parts that are working hard, I would say this. Firstly, thank you. But secondly, we can be tricked into putting our value in how much we do. Being the person who does everything has a certain status and even power. But I challenge you to find me the passage in the Bible that tells us that status and power, or even independence, is good. Church is about interdependence. You still need others, still need to value their contributions, however small, still need to care for them and honour them. You're parts of the body, but you're not the whole body. So my message to you today is this. If you're a church member, take your place in the body. We can't be church without you. Whether you have much to offer or whether you're in a season of receiving from others, we need you. Recognize your value and the value of others. Care for the weak, support those who are failing. Because the only body that's entirely healthy is the body that's healthy in all its parts. We're going to move on in a moment to communion. But before we do, I just want to say a bit about Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in which he describes their communion practice. He writes the letter because they're not acting as a body. They're not recognizing that they're all equal under Christ, because even communion they separate into rich and poor. Even in this shared meal, some go hungry and some get drunk. Where's the unity? Where's the reconciliation between classes and nations and gender divides that's the mark of God's church? Paul says they're not recognizing the body of Christ because they're not recognizing that the lowest ones amongst them are still a part of that body. And he says that in their division, they're not worthy to eat and drink from the Lord's table. So as we close our sermon time and prepare ourselves for communion, let's pray. Let's consider our own attitudes to one another. Do we recognize each other as part of the body, to be loved and supported and cared for? Do we put others' interests before our own? Do we recognize ourselves as part of the body of Christ, joined in commitment and love to one another? Lord, we confess that we have not always been all we should be as members of your body. We confess those times when we've failed to take our part, when we've failed to care for each other, when we've felt superior and failed to value one another. We confess those times when we've allowed our differences to divide us. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Break down the barriers between us and bind us once again in bonds of love. in the name of Jesus, who died for each one of us to give us life. Amen. We're going to sing now, and it's a one from YouTube this time, which I've done a few times recently. I'll let you have a break from it after this. Let us build a house where love can dwell. Let us. They say you are what you eat, and nowhere is this more true than in the church, where the body of Christ eats from the Lord's table. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. At the table at the Last Supper, he took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus for us until he returns in glory. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of the kingdom and demonstrating its power. We thank you for his sacrificial death on the cross for the redemption of the world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall share. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. As we come to share communion, this is open to anyone who believes and trusts in the Lord Jesus. And we remember as we join together that this meal is shared throughout the world and throughout the ages, in the great company of the redeemed people of God. And we rejoice that together with them, the body of Christ is living and breathing, growing and working for his glory. Now I'm going to ask if Chloe and Ayana and Mami could come up and serve the bread for me. Do you think you could do that? Right. So just stand there, just stay there for a second. Can you go up that side? Ayana, go down there. Just wait a second for me. And can you go up that side? Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. So as we take the bread in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Okay, would you like to distribute the bread? Take the bread round. Thank you, girls. You can go and sit back down because I'm not going to ask you to take the wine round. Sorry. we haven't got it in the cup holders, and I'm not getting it anywhere. Marion and John and Linda, would you mind coming and taking the wine for me? In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. So we retain the cup until everyone has been served and drink together as a sign of our unity. Okay. Don't forget to take your own. Thank you. So we drink together, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that while we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we continue in prayer as we bring to God those people and situations in our hearts, and those that have been mentioned earlier. Can we have the prayer box up, please, Dad? Lord, parts of your body here in Leyndon are suffering, and we bring them to you now and ask that you would bless them. We pray for healing for those who are sick. Lord, touch them and give them strength. Teach us who are strong how to uphold them and carry them in their time of need. We pray for those who are grieving. May they know the comfort you give. We pray for those in difficulty, that their way may be cleared and your blessing be known in their lives. And Lord, we pray for the people we love. Lord, we pray for healing where it's needed, for peace, for blessing, for knowledge of your hand on their situations. And Lord, we pray for the communities and nations around us. We long for them to see and to know you, to walk in your ways and do your will. Lord, make us a light and a blessing to those who cannot see. Bring peace in the conflict, strength in the weakness, and hope in the darkness, Lord, we pray. And finally, Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world, that it may be healed of those things that trouble it: division, oppression, persecution, temptation. Lord, bring wholeness and strength to your body for your glory. Amen. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn together. Thy hand, O God, has guided thy flock from age to age. Dear Lord, would you bless us? May your church show your name in the world around. And may we know you ever nearer until we meet again. Amen. Let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Evermore. Amen. Now, it's not all about doing, but things do need to be done. So if you've been inspired by by today's service to take up your part in the church and want to get more involved, there's a list at the front and a list at the back of things you might like to sign up for.